Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 to 13. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." The second reading is from Matthew 5, 7. "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy."
Thanks, Terry. We're so blessed in this church to have many people involved in our service. It's great to have a good bunch of musicians, people working on data and music and streaming at the back, and music and the sound, people reading, people welcoming. If you'd like to become involved in any aspect of our service, we'd love to invite you to, you're welcome. If you've got a talent, like you can play music or an instrument or you can sing, then we'd love to for you to use that to bless the Lord and to encourage us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Without him, we would be in real trouble. We thank you for the Spirit, for your Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in us when we believe, repent and believe. We thank you that your Spirit is the one who gives us power to live the kind of life that you want us to live. We praise and ask you, Spirit of God, to come and minister to us this morning. May we hear your word. May you open up our minds and hearts to hear what you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't enjoy watching the news at all these days. I used to be able to sit there quite passively and watch it, but now I find myself crying too much. I've been moved to tears every night this week as I've watched the news, as I've seen the plight, particularly of people in Ukraine. The human misery and devastation that we're seeing before us, that this war is causing, has just been overwhelming. But I haven't just felt weepy because of seeing this sort of unfolding catastrophe. I've also been really moved by the response of other people to this misery. There's been a huge display of compassion worldwide, hasn't there? And there's been countless acts of mercy already undertaken, many of which we will never hear about, but some we have. Some of these stories have moved me to tears this week, especially the acts of mercy that have been done by complete strangers to the people they're showing mercy to. One of those acts was done by a Ukrainian woman, Natalia Ablayeva. I don't know if you saw this, but without hesitation, Natalia took a complete stranger's children to Hungary for him because he couldn't leave Ukraine due to the restrictions on men of fighting age being prevented from leaving the country. And so this image of two women, Natalia and the mother of the children, on the border there, complete strangers embracing each other as they handed over the children, I find it just a haunting image. Other acts of mercy have been done by ordinary people, including Polish women, who have gone to the border of Ukraine each day and just waited for women and children to come who are complete strangers to them so that they can offer them accommodation in their own homes. It isn't pre-organized. It isn't done by a humanitarian organization. It's just women who feel compassion and who are moved to act in mercy to offer what they have to people in need. Closer to home, I've also been moved by the devastation of the floods in northern New South Wales and Queensland. In a similar way, I felt moved not just by the sort of misery that I've seen, but by hearing about the responses of people to that suffering. One man used his own small boat, a tinny, as we call them here in Australia, at risk of his own life to rescue a family off the roof of their house that was burning down while his own house went under in the deluge. Other people made their vehicles available at no cost so they could transport goods and people to higher ground. And then yesterday, 15,000 people took their brooms and their buckets and joined a mud army in Brisbane to help people clean out their homes that had been just coated with filth and mud. And businesses as well. And it's very moving and very inspirational. And I'm sure many of you felt similar emotions this week as you've watched the news. It's common to feel compassion when we see people in distress, isn't it? And when we see people encountering sudden shifts of fortune in their lives. It's jolting. And so often people are moved to pray, to give money, to give time, energy, their expertise, particularly when they see people suffering due to what they consider unforeseen events or disasters that are what we would say is no fault of their own. And so we saw this in the last couple of years in the bushfires, haven't we? I'm sure you were moved by images and stories of people who were impacted by those bushfires and by the scenes of people's properties that were burnt down. And I know that there's not one single person in this room who didn't tear up when they saw the image of that badly burnt koala trying to flee the flames. People responded also to the Bouncy Castle catastrophe in Devonport, in which 6 children tragically died. People acted mercifully by attending the accident site to pay their respects and by donating money to help pay for funeral costs. And so the Bible commends such a response. It says in Proverbs 14:21, Solomon says, "It is a sin to despise one's neighbor, but blessed is the one who is kind to the needy." As we continue to engage with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is his manifesto outlining the values, the attitudes, and the characteristics of his kingdom and his kingdom people, we actually encounter another characteristic that Jesus says is vital for people in the kingdom, and that characteristic is mercy. Jesus says to his followers in the 5th Beatitude, "Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy." At first sight, that statement seems like a fairly straightforward equation, doesn't it? That is, that you should show mercy to other people if you want to receive mercy yourself in return from God. Although that interpretation sounds reasonable at first hearing, it really has more in common with the law of karma than it does with the good news of Jesus. You see, karma is that you get what you deserve. Our future state is determined by our past actions, karma says. Therefore, according to karma, to receive mercy, you must have first given it. But the good news of Jesus is very different to the law of karma, and in many ways it's completely opposite. You see, the Bible tells us very plainly that because of God's grace, people actually don't receive what they deserve. And it certainly would be a just thing. There would be justice if we did receive what we deserved. But as Peter Kreft says in his book, Back to Virtue, only fools demand justice. For where would we be if we got it? We would be in trouble. We don't need justice. We need mercy. Therefore, this beatitude doesn't mean that God's mercy is conditional on you being merciful to others first. The Bible states clearly that God is continuously showing compassion and being merciful to people when they don't deserve it. David sings about God's mercy in Psalm 103 when he says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." And if anyone should know that mercy wasn't conditional, it was him. God's mercy is continually available to people. But to receive it, you need to accept your need for God's mercy. Without coming to the place of understanding your need for God's mercy, you won't be able to experience it. And not because God is unwilling to give it to you, but because you're unwilling and unable to accept it, to receive it. Which in turn will impact your ability to act mercifully towards other people. But people are most often moved by human tragedies and respond because they believe that people deserve our compassion and mercy. And so this is why we are moved and drawn to the parable of the Good Samaritan, and even people who aren't religious, people who don't go to church each week, haven't heard all the sort of stories and stuff about Jesus, when they hear the story of the Good Samaritan, they sort of understand it. In this parable, Jesus tells his followers about a man who, through no fault of his own, is beaten up and left for dead by bandits on the road going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And several people see him beaten up, lying on the side of the road, but they just pass him by. And only one person stops to take care of him, a man who wasn't from his own ethnic group or religious group. This was a Samaritan. And so Jesus concludes his story by saying that the correct response to such a need is to stop, to bend down, and to go out of your way, even at great cost to yourself, to assist him. That, according to Jesus, that's the definition of mercy. And so in many ways, responding to that sort of incident, like the Good Samaritan did, is a natural and it's a reasonable response. But the deeper challenge of Jesus' beatitude and the deeper challenge of the Good Samaritan parable is not just that kingdom people should be compassionate and merciful. That's not the end of the story. It's rather that they should not put boundaries on who they should show mercy to. And so this makes this beatitude a radical departure from the normal practice of showing mercy. By this beatitude, Jesus is telling his followers that they are to be characterized by an unnatural and unreasonable mercy, to the point where they extend mercy to all people in need, including people who they don't think deserve it. This wasn't just some abstract idea for Jesus. He constantly practiced extending mercy to people who were off the list of deserving mercy. And this was one of the things that annoyed the religious leaders about Jesus. In his ministry on earth, Jesus spent a lot of time with people who were considered outcasts, marginalized people, people who were considered sinners by the general population, such as tax collectors, prostitutes, people with questionable reputations, questionable lifestyles, questionable habits. He was constantly with people who were not considered straight by any standard of the day. Matthew, who wrote the gospel, of the one that goes by his name, he was one of these outcasts. He was one of these marginalized people when Jesus called him to follow him. He wasn't on anyone's party list. He was despised by everyone. And so when Jesus met him and called him to follow him, Matthew hadn't straightened himself out first before that took place. He hadn't done anything to commend himself to Jesus. He definitely hadn't been showing mercy to anyone as a tax collector, that's for sure. Yet he receives kindness and mercy from Jesus. And this breaks his heart wide open and it transforms his life. This is why Matthew includes in his gospel several other incidents that he saw where he saw Jesus actually extending mercy to people who the world said don't deserve it. In Matthew 9, he tells us, while Jesus was having dinner at my house, he says Matthew's house, but he's talking about his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Who are the people in our society today who need our compassion and mercy? Another way of asking that question would be to ask, who would Jesus hang out with if he were walking on the earth today? For sure, you'd find him on the border of Poland and Hungary this week welcoming Ukrainian refugees, for sure. He would also be found inside Ukraine binding the wounds of people. You would also find him on a small boat in New South Wales, hauling people off rooftops in Lismore and part of the Mud Army in Brisbane. And you'd definitely see him picking up and tending to broken and burnt koalas even as they died. But these wouldn't be the only people Jesus would act mercifully towards, would it? You see, he would be also found helping people who live in those so-called pariah countries that are actually causing the conflict in the world today. He would be there showing mercy to those who are actually doing the fighting against the Ukrainians and who are suffering themselves because of what they were doing. Jesus would be showing mercy to those people in the world who the world thinks don't deserve mercy. This week, as a leadership of this church, we've been discussing how we can move from sympathy to compassion to acting mercifully towards the refugees coming out of Ukraine. It's great to do that. And we've had a lot of agreement on how we should act, that we should donate some money towards that. But as we were thinking out loud about this, someone asked me why we hadn't responded like this for Afghani refugees just a few months ago who were fleeing Afghanistan. I didn't have an answer for them. But as I reflected on it, I concluded that we must not have felt as moved by their need, perhaps because we didn't think that they were as deserving of our mercy. I don't believe that this was a conscious thought, but I think it came from deep within us, deep within our subconscious, where we evaluate human need generally according to our own human wisdom and intuition in a natural way, in a reasonable way. We saw this sort of thinking in regard to the HIV/AIDS pandemic in the 80s, didn't we? You see, because HIV was transmitted initially amongst people who were not heterosexuals and amongst people who were considered sexually promiscuous, living alternate lifestyles, we didn't feel compassion on them, and therefore we didn't feel moved to act mercifully towards them. But it's not just past issues, is it? Today we continue to do similar things, not with people who are suffering with HIV, but other people in need, such as refugees who come to this country for a variety of reasons. We can also feel this way, perhaps even to the unvaccinated people in our community today who end up in ICU. It's also reflected in our lack of compassion and mercy towards people with different sexual orientations to us. Those who have made certain lifestyle choices that are disagreeable to us, or towards people who are struggling with their own gender identity, or with people who are struggling with addictions that we don't have. If Jesus was walking around today in this context, he would feel compassion and act mercifully towards all those people as well. He would eat with them. He would show them love and mercy and invite them to follow him, not in some sort of fluffy way that doesn't actually address sin and shame or doesn't call people to repentance and faith, but his compassion and mercy would always be consistent and would always be unbiased. You see, he is calling us to an unnatural and an unreasonable mercy. A mercy that's beyond actually our human capacity and capability, which is why you need to have understood just your need first for his mercy and to have received it from him first, because only then will you be filled with the Spirit who gives people the power for such unnatural and unreasonable mercy. Friends, if you realize today that you've only been practicing mercy to people whom you think deserve it, then I want to encourage you to ask God to change your thinking and to empower you to begin acting mercifully more broadly and more consistently. And this process begins. It begins, if you want to know how that begins, it begins by grasping and accepting your own deep need for God's unnatural mercy to you and your life. There's no other way to move towards being a merciful person than that. This is what happened to the hardened criminal Jean Valjean in Victor Hugo's story, Les Misérables. Jean Valjean became a man of compassion, a man who acted mercifully towards the poor, the needy, the despised, the marginalized because of their habits and their lifestyles. But he did this only after he came to see his own brokenness and embraced the great mercy that God was extending to him in Christ. He was able to extend mercy even to Javert, the policeman, who had hounded him for decades in an unmerciful way. He extended him mercy when Javert didn't deserve mercy, which was a sign of the transformation that God had done in Jean Valjean's life. Today, by the power of God, you can become a person who acts mercifully, consistently and broadly by receiving God's extreme mercy yourself and asking him to empower you to see people as Jesus does and extend mercy that he has shown to you to them. But this beatitude is not just a word for us as individuals. It's also an important message, I believe, for us as a community who are seeking to actually join God on God's mission in the world. You see, when we grasp God's mercy together as a community, we begin to see people as Jesus sees them, and we begin to understand that we ourselves are Jesus' hands and Jesus' feet, And we'll be able to extend compassion and mercy towards the lowly, to those who feel marginalized, the broken, the confused, the addicted, those suffering from trauma in our community and beyond. In this way, Jesus will not only minister to people in need of mercy and love through us, he will also minister to the wider community around us who will see this unnatural and this unreasonable mercy coming from us. They'll see it as a sign that the Spirit of God is actually moving in these people in this place, you see. Friends, as the musicians come to lead us in our next song, I want to invite you in this song to use it as a reflection and prayer before we come to the table to take communion together. I want you to reflect and pray, asking God to transform you so that you can actually be characterized by Jesus' compassion, by Jesus' mercy, and so that you can be moved and motivated to act even in a small way in the coming days and the coming week and the coming months, seeking constantly God's help to be merciful to those in need.